What's good? What's good? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. As you know, I will have a special guest coming on here real shortly. Should be coming on in about 5 minutes. It's fight week this week, BKFC. You got a BKFC fight night. Not fight night, but BKFC 76 in Texas, Soto versus Bonner. So I'm gonna go over that a little bit before our guest comes on. Of course, it was supposed to be Soto versus Tenaglia, and apparently Tenaglia had an issue with his passport, if I'm not mistaken. So they had to replace him with Ben Bonner. Ben Bonner's 3-1. Really got nothing to lose. So we'll see how that goes. You got Josh Copeland fighting Andre Arlovski. You got Jessica I versus Maria Agapova. Alex Davis versus Kenzie Morrison. JC De Leon versus Ruben War. Definitely go check out the interview I did with Ruben War. Really great guy, good friend of the show. Anthony Garrett versus Hayes Wilson. Darren Whitney versus Rodney Hinton. Rodney Hinton was a monster his last fight. Definitely interested to see how that goes. Paco Castillo versus Jake Heffernan. Brandon Menezes versus Willie Gates. Cameron Delano versus Jesse Does Rozier. Man, I'll be butchering these names, man. So this is BKFC's first time in Texas. Definitely interested to see how it goes. Texas should definitely love bare knuckle fighting. Also, I don't know if y'all know, BKFC basically had their YouTube channel get hacked recently, and they were supposed to get it back, but it don't look like they got it back. So they probably lost all that content. That's probably why when I logged in one day, YouTube was trying to tell me put on that two-factor notification and whatnot. So BKFC probably didn't have the two-factor notification. The Headhunter, appreciate you tuning in, man. Definitely go check out that interview as well. Guests should be coming on here real shortly. But yeah, supposedly they lost their YouTube channel. They say it got hacked, which is highly possible. A lot of hacking going on. And they say they know who did it, but apparently they ain't get their channel back or their channel. Maybe everything was deleted. I don't know, man. I don't know. I do not know. But I just know it's got to suck. It's got to suck to literally build up that fan base on social media like that and basically get hacked. I had a homeboy that had, you know, nice following on Facebook with his radio, his online radio, and somebody hacked his Facebook and he couldn't get it back. And he had a few hundred thousand followers on Facebook, and now he had to start from scratch and build all over. I mean, I haven't had my accounts get hacked before. I was able to get them back. All right, so here's our guest is about to come in. I'm so excited to bring this guy on. In a short period of time, he's become one of my favorite fighters in BKFC. Definitely a true entertainer. Probably the only must-watch during weigh-ins. Pro MMA record of 4-1. Undefeated in bare knuckle. We'll be fighting BKFC Fight Night Philly, July 25th, 2025, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. He's also the featured fight. Hold on, I think he's getting his camera. His camera looks a little sideways. Let's get let him get it fixed real quick. Up. He's a little sideways. All right, look like you're having a little trouble getting the thing. Let's bring him on though. The one and only. There he goes. Johnny Cannoli Garbarino. Up. Cannoli, how you doing? You're sideways right now, man.
Listen, I don't know. I tried, man. I don't know what's going on.
I think you just had it a second ago, and it
Let me try to flip this thing. Hold on. Nope, nothing. Hold on. Let's do it.
Look. There you go. There you go. Right now, you just had it. You just had it right there. Right there.
I don't know what the fuck is going on. How many changes? Yeah,
you're a fighter, man. You're a fighter, man.
Is it good?
Nah. You got to turn it back the other way, man. It was just straight. Yeah, just a second ago.
On my iPad.
Right there. Yeah, right there.
No matter what is it good now? I'll leave it like this.
Yeah, keep it like that. Keep it like that.
All right. It looks crooked for me. I can't. It's so weird. All good. We'll keep it just like that. If you're saying I'm straight, I'm straight.
Yeah, you good. You good. So how's life treating you, man?
Oh, it's good, man. I'm blessed. Super blessed. Just working hard, working in my business, working, training for this fight. Living good.
So I'm getting into some basic questions at first. So what inspired you to start fighting and get into combat sports?
I always found myself in the schoolyard or in sports, you know, just fist fighting. I got in a lot of trouble as a kid. I got kicked out of a lot of schools. I was always fighting. And at a very young age, my parents got me into mixed martial arts, karate, jiu-jitsu, all different types of grappling. And I don't know, I just kind of stuck through it, and it winded up becoming a career.
So you got one of the coolest fight names, yeah. Johnny Cannoli, man. Who came up with that, man?
So I smashed a guy in the head with a cannoli at a weigh-in, and there were so many people just weighing, it blew up, went viral. And I guess Johnny Cannoli kind of flowed together, and someone just gave, I don't even know who said Johnny Cannoli, but I'm just assuming one of the networks or whatever, but it just stuck, man. I liked it. Other people liked it. You know, we just rolled with it.
Nah, you're like the only guy who's a must watch on the weigh-ins right now, man. Because you had that one time you came out where Connor was there, and you handed your opponent a cannoli and you slapped it before he went to go eat it, and it just went everywhere. And he got upset. The last one was really surprising. You had the cannoli in your, your right or your left pocket, and as soon as y'all said face forward, you grabbed it out of the pocket and slapped it in the chest. I was like, yo, this guy is like a must-watch TV just for the weigh-ins alone. And then you got the fight. You still got the fight.
Listen, you got to keep it entertaining, man. I mean, listen, I say it all the time. There's probably a lot of better fighters in the world that people know, but if they're not entertaining, no one's going to care. And if they're fighting but they're not on the right platform, then it's really not going to matter. You know, no one's going to know. It's like it's almost like it never happens. You know what I mean?
So you got to get more creative with the cannolis, seeing people and probably know they're going to be coming.
I don't know. I thought about a bunch of different things. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't even going to do it last time, and it was like, again, spur in a moment. I was like, how am I going to weigh in and do another, you know, BKFC weigh-in when I came in out so strong with the other cannoli, and I just kind of did it. But I don't want to wear it out either. I think I was only going to do it once, and then it winded up becoming, I don't know. I'm going to keep everybody on their toes, you know. It's like Donald Trump right now. He's on the media. He's on the news, and they were asking him if he's going to just strike Iran. He's like, why would I tell you if I'm going to strike Iran? You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling anybody if I'm hitting you in the head with a cannoli or not. You're never going to know it's coming.
Yeah, that's like that movie I was watching, what was it, the Shooter series, and old boy's like, you here to kill me, and he's like, I don't talk about killing people, I just do it.
Exactly.
So no warnings. You're from Philly, man. You think it's almost a given that you got to be tough growing up in Philly?
Hey, listen, man, I think there's rough areas all over the world. I think I mean, definitely Philadelphia is probably the number one, or, you know, at least top three right now in the country. It's always floating like one and two for number one, like murder capital of the country. And you always got to be on your toes, even working. Like, I'm always looking over my shoulder. You know, I go out my front door. I think a little crazy. I grew up and seen a lot of things. So you never really know if you have an issue with anybody. Hopefully you don't, but you just never know. You could look at someone sideways or like the wrong way, even if you smile at them, and they could think something in their head, you know, and they could be laying on you. So I'm always on, you know, my P's and Q's, and I always carry a gun. You know what I mean? Just because I could fight, I always have a gun, because you never know what the other guy has. And, you know, no one's unbeatable. Yeah. You know, you just could kind of have like a head start, or, you know, a little bit of cushion, let's call it. You know what I mean? Just to slow something down from happening. But I've been really lucky, you know. And yeah, I mean, definitely been in a lot of scraps, a lot of bad situations. You just kind of roll with the punches, and you know, you get tough from it.
Yeah, and there's no rules in the streets when you're fighting.
Right.
It's anything
No.
goes pretty much.
Anything goes. There's no rules, you know.
So you had a successful amateur career. You won two titles in the Art of War cage fighting, 7-3 record. What was it like
Yeah.
fighting in the Art of War cage fighting?
Oh, it was great. I mean, listen, you know, definitely one of the top regional promotions right now, at least in this
Okay.
area. I would say CFFC and Art of War, the top two. There's other ones like Ring of Combat, and I guess those are the top three, I'll say, because I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head. But I think definitely top two premier leagues to be in if you're in a regional scene. A lot of good talent. You never really know what you're going to get with these guys. I never really had any easy fights. Even if I, you know, they had planned for me to, like, you know, win a fight or anything in the early days of my amateurs, I like wound up having an injury or something that I had to overcome somehow. It was never easy for me in any fight. But I loved it. I mean, the fan base was great. I built a lot of good fan base. I was really lucky to fight for them, and you know, I think made a good name for myself going into bare knuckle. And that's actually how I met David, because he was actually a partner of Mike Bickings, which was a he's the now owner and sole owner of Art of War, but he was the co-partner of David Feldman at the time before he had bare knuckle.
Okay, so when you met David, I mean, I'm guessing that's how you got in the bare knuckle. I mean, what really made you make that move though?
Going on, what is it? Like, I don't know, it's over 6 months now. It's last when did we fight in Wells Fargo? November? Last November or October, I guess he reached out to me after one of my MMA fights at Live Casino here in Philly. And he said he was bringing bare knuckle knuckle mania
To Philly, yeah.
to Philadelphia. And it was like a no-brainer for me. Just the
Yeah.
amount of people alone. I said, even if I'm not a bare knuckle boxer, you know, which I am. I mean, we all grew up fighting, but even if I'm not a sole bare knuckle boxer, I got to give it a shot and fight and get the exposure alone. So that's what we did. I took a shot, and I think I aced the test. You know, I went out there, smashed the guy from start to finish. I think I executed everything, and got better from it. Got a whole new fan base from it. Went viral. Got a big following now. So definitely, I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I'm really happy with the decision, the actual decision that I made going from MMA to boxing.
And you barely been touched in those first two fights, right?
Yeah, so 22 fights in my total career, fighting, and I've never been cut. I have been touched in the face, never like clean. I've been very, very fortunate, but I am gifted with just knowledge, just fight IQ. You know, the ability to control range, timing, distance, great head movement, but like it's like specific head movement, you know?
Yeah, you're definitely very, very technical from what
For
I've
sure.
seen. And some of these guys come in a bare knuckle and
Yeah.
they just try to bum rush, and that don't always work, man. What
Listen,
is
it'll
the
work
tip?
if you
Oh, go
allow
ahead,
it
go
to
ahead.
work. No,
Yeah.
sorry. That will work on anybody that if you allow it to. There's
Yeah.
a special that's a special type of fighter that is just willing to come forward and throw punches. I'm not saying, you know, it really doesn't require as much skill, but it requires balls and
Yeah.
self-belief, you know, because at the end of the day, you're in a cage or a setting that, you know, it could be a closet, it could be a room, it could be a ring, outside. You're in a situation, you're going to have to touch each other eventually. You know, I'd rather do it on my terms. So, you know, I don't know whether you're in the stocks or whatever, but if we were in analytics and I have to measure, you know, just percentages and chances of like trading different strikes for greater efforts or greater wins or losses, you know, I'd rather slip a punch and enter that way and counter them because I know I'm safe rather than just bum rush a guy and leave myself open for any shots. You know, I try to limit the ability to get hit when I'm striking. You know, I'll never put a strike before my defense.
Now, when you're not, like, when you're just regularly training, you don't got to fight. Is it the same as when you're training for a fight?
Say that one more time.
Like, when you know, a lot of fighters, they just train to train even when they don't got fights. Now, when you got a fight, is the training any different?
It ramps up. It's definitely different because we hone in on specifics the way we want to attack a certain opponent or defend against one. I definitely think it's different. Even like strength and conditioning, like you'll do a strength phase and then you'll do a power phase, which is strength times speed, creating power. So like there's definitely like weeks that you would train a certain way to peak. So for that, definitely like timing, peaking, getting to like a pinnacle level, making weight. There's all different things you have to pay attention to when you're in a camp. But I'm always training. I'm always developing skills. When I'm in the off season, I use that time just to develop different skills, play around, have fun. Still, like, you know, taking my training serious, maybe trying to perfect one or two punches and maybe add another punch to the arsenal that I didn't typically use before, or even work a totally different position that I wouldn't normally necessarily work at all, you know, and I start to like attack those, even if it's going to southpaw, you know, I'll educate the other side, educate head movement on that side, educate my left hand, lead jab, you know, do a lot of different footwork. There's always something I'm looking to better myself with, you know, that I wouldn't necessarily do in a camp. But I mean, I, you know, definitely training all the time year round.
Now, are you into calling guys out like by name?
I haven't been, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been in a position that I thought I had to, or I should. I'm not even, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a cocky person. I'm very humble. If there was someone that had a problem with me, I would gladly fight them. You know, I don't back down from anybody. But I'll be honest with you, no one's really crossed my my mind. Like I need to, you're not going to grab my energy from it. I never had to come out and say, oh, I'm going to fight this guy or that guy. You know, when I was younger as a kid, I used to do that stuff.
Now, what about the other way around? Do guys be trying to call you out to try to get you to fight?
It's happened, and people got smashed, you know, in the past. And listen, you know, I'm not the type, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big talker. I kind of just handle my business. So I just don't talk a lot. So, whatever, you know, they can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, you're talking to me like I'm going to give you a rise. If you want to sell a fight, that's different. But we all have David Feldman's number if you're fighting for him. We all have the matchmaker's number. Call him up. Tell him who you want to fight. And if you're serious and he's serious and he thinks it's going to sell for his, you know, for his promotion, make it happen. You know, I'll sign up with everybody. Doesn't matter to me. I'll fight in any single weight class as long as I can make the weight.
Now, I saw where you got a knockout on the guy and then you proposed to your girlfriend afterwards. Like, how long did you have that plan?
So I went to a jeweler, which is a dear friend of mine. He's like a family member. He's actually like an uncle to me. So shout out to Alex. Alex, the jeweler, he's on 8th and Chestnut in Philadelphia. He's the best and, you know, he's one of my family friends. But anyway, I think we had a little miscommunication between me and Alex. I went to him probably like 5 weeks before the fight, and I had the idea and the notion in my mind that I wanted to propose to Gianna. And I said, hey, listen, I want to design it a certain way. So we agreed on an actual stone, and a design and a cut and all that stuff with different settings, all that. So we did that, and we did everything but give him a down payment. And I'm so close with Alex. Typically, he doesn't ask me for anything.
Yeah.
He's not like a normal jeweler. He's my family. So if I say I got it or I'm in for something, I'll just pay him the day of when I pick it up. So I thought that we had like this just like understanding that he was supposed to make this custom ring and he never put the order in. So a couple days before the fight, I call him up. I said, yo, what's going on with this ring? He's like, Johnny, I never ordered it. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, what do you mean? You never told me like for sure. And I was like, no, I thought I definitely did tell you. But all right, don't worry about it. It's fine. And so he started to like feel bad. He's like, listen, I'll make something happen. I said, listen, this is not meant to be, Alex. It's fine. And when stuff like that happens to me, I'm like, I don't think it's meant to be. You know? So I remember like it was yesterday. I was getting ready for the fight. I'm in the shower. And I was probably about an hour and a half, probably maybe an hour before I left my house to go to the arena. And as I was in the shower, my phone was sitting like on my sink. And I heard it. And I'm always working. Like I got three businesses. Okay. So I'm like, I don't miss a phone call. You know, yeah. I don't care what time it is. So I went to pick the phone up in a hurry and it was my business partner. So I'm like, man, I definitely got to answer this. That all being said, I answered the phone. Chris, my partner's on the phone, and he says, Garb, you sound busy, all right? And I says, yeah, I'm good. I'm about to get ready. I got to go. What's going on? He's like, listen, before you hang up, I think you should still propose. I know you didn't get the ring, but I think you should propose to him. I'm like, well, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't have a ring, bro. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm ready to hang up.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, I had to come to the mall. I'll pick her up a ring. I said, dude, I can't mess around with this. Like, this has got to be beautiful. It's got to fit. It's got to do all. He's like, no, Garb, just listen. Listen. He said, I'm going to go to Swarovski Crystal, get her a beautiful rock, a really big ring. And obviously, it's got to be really nice because I'm doing it on television. I don't want to look like a, you know, like horrible. So I was like, listen, as long as it's really, really pretty. And he's like, listen, I'm going to get a fake diamond, a crystal, and I'm going to bring it to you. I said, all right, let's do it. Fuck it. You know what I mean? And I wound up, but right before I went to the arena, I called her mother over and I asked her for permission to marry her. Like, and she came over real fast. And so she said, yeah, I started crying out front. I hid it from Gianna. And then I just went over to the arena. When I was in the back, my partner calls me probably an hour before I'm on deck to go out. And he's like, all right, I'm here. Where do I go? I was like, I don't know. I think you got to like drop it over the stands, like down one of the aisles or something to try and get it backstage. And I couldn't go because once you're checked in as a fighter, you can't go. So
yeah.
I wound up telling my coach, Ryan, that was cornering me that night. I said, yo, can you go meet my partner? And he's going to drop off a ring. And I explained it to them that I was going to do it. And he actually went out. I don't know where the hell they met, but they met somewhere backstage, like in between the aisles and like, under by the stage and like the locker room. He dropped the ring, caught it, brought it back, and then he actually ran right to Dave Feldman and like the announcers. He's like, listen, after Johnny wins his fight, he's going to propose. And they're like, what are you talking about? We can't do that. You know, he should have said something weeks ago. And he's like,
sound like David.
Yeah. So because like when you're on television, national television, pay-per-view and stuff, there's like commercials, advertisements.
Yeah.
You know, every fight has like a certain allotted of time, I guess. And so anyway, they wound up making it happen, long story short. And I mean, you've seen the rest of it. It was like a Disney movie, man. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like you got awesome. A really good business partner there too, man.
Yeah. Oh, it was great, man. Him and my team were just we're just like the best unit possible. You can't I don't know. Everything's perfect in my life right now. Very, very grateful.
So let's get into your upcoming fight. You don't know who your opponent is going to be yet, do you?
I found out about a week ago who I think they're going to keep as my opponent. His name is Brett Fields. He's a 1-3
okay.
BKFC fighter. I don't know if he's going to stay my fighter or not, my opponent. There was talks about a replacement. I didn't know what was going on. But at the end of the day, I'm ready for whoever, like I was saying before. This is why I constantly train. It's why I constantly stay around my weight. So it's just easy to get in the ring.
Okay, so they didn't really say why, like, they had you already on the card but didn't have a fighter just yet?
No,
like
no.
a dude's ducking you, maybe.
Listen, maybe they're ducking me, maybe not. I would bet. I mean, listen, I'm only 2-0 in the bare knuckle. I would bet that there's a lot of people that want some of me, and you know, they want to build on my name. So I'm sure there's plenty of guys that want to get in there and fight with me. There's a lot of real fighters out there that would, you know, that would obviously be a challenge for me. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Doesn't matter who they pick. I think I'm ready. I believe I'm ready. That's why I train every damn day in my life, you know?
I looked up Brett Fields. He actually fought Wild Bill Albrecht last fight and got beat. Mm-hmm. I actually got into it with this guy on Facebook because of something I posted. So I hope So I hope you beat the brakes off of him, man. Because I posted something, and he just got like all sensitive and emotional and started shit talking to me. I'm like, dude, man, you know, tough guy. Well, you like five times my size. I'm like 5'4", 140 pounds soaking wet, dude.
Well, listen, if he stays in my opponent, we'll have another podcast talking about how it went.
Yeah, I'm definitely root for you even more now.
I appreciate it.
So, where are we at? Now, what motivates you to keep stepping in the ring, man, fight after fight?
What makes me get in there? I'm sorry, I broke out.
Motivates you?
I'll be honest. I don't know. I love the challenge. I love everything about my life right now, man. I like fighting because just starting out, it gave me an outlet, you know, and I fought and went to the gym because I was always fighting outside the gym and I wanted to make sure I was sharper than everybody on the street, you know, and it just became a love and like a crazy attraction that I couldn't have enough of, you know, like there's no better rush than getting into a fight, especially in a ring that you're actually getting paid for. You can promote it. You can make money off of it. People love it. There's a lot of different reasons I do it for. A big reason that I do it is the fans. I feel like I owe it to my city. I owe it to everybody that's been supporting me for the past 22 fights. And, you know, I feel like my family, my team, we put so much energy into this and a lot of sacrifice. I got a lot of injuries from this. You know, just a lot of different sacrifices in my life make me want to take it all the way and become a world champion at this. Excuse my dog.
I love dogs, man.
They're nuts, but there's a lot of reason I'm doing this for sure.
Now, so you've experienced MMA. You've done regular boxing too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What advice would you give guys from those sports coming into bare knuckle?
What advice would I do? Okay, specifically for training. I would say trim down as far as like reps and sets. I would definitely trim down the duration of your rounds. So we fight five fives in MMA. Now we could do as far as six, but typically it's a five round fight in bare knuckle. I haven't had the opportunity to go through the first round yet, but I've seen a lot of fights go the distance, and it's more like a sprint. There's no time to feel anyone out. You know, you can make a miss and you control distance only so much, you know, in that small, and it's a smaller ring. So I would say train in a smaller ring and train for a sprint, not a marathon, you know?
Now, I notice when a lot of guys win a lot of fights and they never get out the first round, people always question, can they go the distance? What would you say to people like that?
Well, I've gone the distance in MMA.
Okay.
And they're a lot longer rounds. And yeah. So for that, I know I can fight for long durations of time. I'll be honest with you, all my training up until this point in my life, like, has gotten me here, and I have so much confidence with my breathing and my cardio. It's actually ridiculous. I did like a 4:30 mile, like a sprint, my last camp. I was in the best shape of my life, and I'm going to get back to that now. I get better and stronger every camp. I'm better at breathing every time. Even when I played hockey when I was a kid, we had like shift changes. And typically your shift as a hockey player is anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. A minute being like the longest, maybe on a penalty kill. You know, you're trying to kill time or anything like that and keep it in the far end and dumping and chasing. But like a typical line change is like 30 seconds, you know? So since I was a kid, I'm training my lungs to sprint all out for 30 seconds. Right. So that's what I still do it. I could still keep a 350 pound bag ascended in the air for 30 seconds hard, you know, and we'll do drills for 2 minutes or 3 minutes to try and keep that cardio up and that output. And what that actually does, if you're an athlete for a long period of time with cardio and heavy, heavy output, it actually trains your heart and it builds it. Just like if we're doing curls. Okay. If I train the muscle as a bicep, I stretch it down here and I squeeze it at the top and I even turn it in to get a full contraction, you know, and a full development hypertrophy in the muscle. When you're pumping your heart, it's a muscle, right? So you want to work on your output. When you do that for long periods of time, you actually grow your heart, and not everybody has this, but I have it. I actually got my heart measured and I have what they call an athletic heart or an athlete's heart. So I have an enlarged heart. It means that I could basically go for longer in cardio events. It means that I could actually work. And technically, it's less stress on my heart because it's easier as a bigger muscle to pump, you know, just like less effort, if that makes sense. So I have a lower resting heart rate, as low as 27 beats per minute, which is pretty intense, you know. I never really heard of anybody else with that.
Yeah.
As a fighter, you know what I mean? I have a large heart, so.
So what is something that fans might not know about you?
All the fans, I don't know. I think they do by now, but I was actually a chef and I went to culinary school for 6 years.
Okay.
So in MMA, when I fought for Art of War, they used to call me Chef Garb cooking up knockouts. And because I was a chef, right? I went to, you know, Culinary Institute of America. We did the Culinary Olympics, Culinary Salons. We got number one in the country, number one in the world. And I actually took molecular gastronomy. So I did food science, which is molecular gastronomy. And I worked at the number one restaurant in the world in Chicago. That was an amazing time. I ran a lot of restaurants. I mean, that's probably a fun fact that people probably didn't know.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Being that you're Italian, I mean, I feel like Italians got the best food on the planet, man. What you say?
Definitely up there. I don't even think it's an argument, but yeah. There's definitely refined chefs from France and refined chefs from Japan and all over the world, but even Germany. I'd say Italian is the best. I grew up with it. I'm biased.
Yeah.
It is what it is, but I just think as a culture, Italians as a whole just put all their love and their energy into their food. I don't ever hear about like any of my friends' families that aren't Italian speaking or arguing about the food that they're going to eat like a week from now, tomorrow, what's for dinner tonight in the morning. Like every other person's kind of just like go with the flow. I know what I'm eating every single day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm planning it out. Like it's like what I don't know. It's like in our blood, you know?
And I heard after fights, like fighters got like a cheat meal, like where they'll eat like a large steak or something. What's your cheat meal?
It could be pasta and chicken cutlets. I'd say that's like a go-to.
You said chicken cutlets?
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, when I weigh in, I eat so much pasta after I'm done. It's ridiculous. Because specifically, like you want to replace the glycogen. So you want a lot of carbohydrates, fast carbohydrates. I actually like a lot of sushi the day of the fight because number one, if you do like pork or beef or anything like that, they say it stays in your system for a long time. It's hard to break down, but fish breaks down like that. Even if you pour some lemon on fish, it starts to cook it or denature it. So fish and fast absorbing carbohydrates like white rice, I think, are the number one key to my energy levels the day of the fight.
Now, you mentioned you play hockey. Do you think, like, hockey players typically are really good bare-knuckle fighters or bare-knuckle guys? Because y'all do a lot of bare-knuckling in hockey.
Yeah, there was a lot of times, especially, like, as a kid when we would drop the gloves. We would take our helmets off, but, like, when we were really young, there's no time. So we have to, because we have the cages, you know, so we would drop our gloves. And, man, I personally used to punch the helmet all the time. I didn't care. I would grab the helmet, try to rip it up and punch. You know, so, and another thing for bare knuckle, I feel like hockey is you know, if you know how to play hockey, number one, you have good balance and you have good grappling skills, like grabbing wise, because you have to tussle and wrestle with their shirts or jerseys, get around all the equipment, and they're also grabbing you. It's kind of like if you did jiu-jitsu or judo, it's like grabbing a gi. You know what I mean? So you're constantly like wrestling, and then even if you grab an arm, you could like punch over the arm, grabbing the arm at the same time. You could, you know, manipulate it and like pivot and bring it to the ground. You do a lot of stuff. I think hockey's definitely helped me do bare knuckle for sure.
Now, I know fighters, some fighters actually do try to look ahead, but I know a lot of fighters don't like to look ahead, but I'm looking at you. So you're what division? You're middleweight, right?
175.
One set. Oh, so 175. So who is that? Is that Dave Mundell's?
Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking at the what do you think is your chances in this like getting a title shot in this weight class?
I think it's just a matter of time. I think I deserve to be built a little bit. Number one for
Okay.
the fo number one for the following, and number two because I only have two fights so far. So I think all that being said, with enough time and you know experience coming up through the ranks, I believe I can be a champion in this bare knuckle for sure. Just 100%, no doubt about it. And I mean, I definitely know I'll at least get a title shot.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, three of the top five guys just lost their last match. And I love Doug Coltrane. He's from North Carolina, but don't know, man. I don't know.
Listen, one thing about bare knuckle, I think anybody's got a swinger's chance. It doesn't matter who you're fighting. So you have to treat it like it's your last fight, and you have to be prepared and don't take anybody lightly. I look at a lot of these guys like I have more skill, I'm sharper, I'm faster, you know, better looking. There's a lot of good things, but I don't sleep on anybody. I don't. It's still a fight. And these guys are all tough, every single one of them. So when I get in here, I got to put them out. You know, it's just business. If not,
So
it's going to be me.
how you this Philly card I'm looking at, is there a guy on here that cats might need to might be overlooking besides you that you might know of?
I don't know who's on the card. Do you have the card in front of you?
Yeah, you got Dustin Pogue, I guess, Ryan Peterson.
He's really good. Dustin Pegg is very, very
Hey,
good.
okay, Paige, okay.
Yeah, one thing about me as a fighter is I'm very relaxed. I've seen a lot of guys coming up through the ranks, and you know, even on a higher scale, guys don't know how to relax and zone in and focus and take a warm up serious and kind of like cancel out the world. And I've seen Dustin in the back quite a few times, and I feel as though he's very experienced, and he's just like he, I think he's just been around for a very long time, and he knows how to focus. You know, I just feel like it's being a professional, and the more you do the process, the whole entire thing, a fight camp, you know, living a certain way through a fight camp, making weight, going through, stepping on a scale, rehydrating, coming in the next day, checking in, sitting there for hours, and then getting ready, you know, as you're getting taped, and just the whole entire process from start to finish. The more times you do it, the more experience you get. And I feel Dustin Pegg's like a real true professional. And I liked what I saw when I seen him in the back. You know, I noticed everybody in the locker room. A lot of guys are like this. You know, they're real hyped up. And by the time they get
Yeah.
out there, they look like shit. You know, they don't know how to calm their nerves.
So, what are you expecting with this fight? I mean, you don't really know your opponent, but are we guaranteeing a win?
There's no guarantee. There's no
Okay.
guarantee. There's never a guarantee. If I would say put money on me, I would. But at the end of the day, I still got to go out there and finish this guy that I don't even know I'm fighting yet. But, you know, I'm going to do my best 100%, train my ass off every single day. I bet on myself every time.
And like being that you don't know your opponent just yet, I mean, so that gives you like a little bit shorter time to kind of prepare for him, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but listen, I'm always prepared. I mean, you know, I fought guys that were 6'6", 6'7". I fought guys that were shorter than me. I fought guys that were heavier than me, lighter than me. You got to be ready for every single body style. And right now, one time a week, they'll put me in a Shark Tank and we'll go 10 rounds straight, a fresh guy every round, and everybody's a different color, a different size, different length, different speed, different weight. And for that, I feel like I could fight anybody because I have to adjust on the fly, especially when you're getting mentally tired and physically tired. You have to stay your sharpest and be able to adjust. So I don't feel like there's anybody out there that could outclass me. And I really think I'm a lot smarter than everybody in this league.
And I know, like, most everybody wants to win the title, but you got any other specific goals, like in bare knuckle?
As far as what I want to accomplish.
Yeah, a lot of guys just say lean on legacy. Is that a big thing for you?
Yeah, legacy is important. I mean, why else are you doing something, you know? I feel like just be, because we're on the world only one time. You could die tomorrow. So I want people to remember me for being great, being a good person, being a loyal guy, and being a fantastic fighter. I also want to be very entertaining. So there's a lot of things I want to accomplish in this, a lot of challenges I want to overcome. Right now, I'm just focused on getting better and just growing in the sport. I want to get a belt, and then after the belt, I'd like to defend it a bunch and obviously beat the best guys, because you could get a belt, it doesn't mean you fought the best. There's
They
always going to
could have
be
fought some
somebody.
cans on the way there.
Listen, there's always going to be better guys that aren't holding the belt. You see it all the time. How many guys lose their belts in the UFC, WBC, all different types of fighting. And I think there's always better fighters that aren't holding the belts, you know.
Yeah, and I think I interviewed Steve Tomahawk Townsend recently, and that was the first guy I heard say this, that everybody in BKC is still trying to really bare knuckles, just trying to learn their way, like how to fight, the style to fight. And I think that makes it a little bit harder because you got a lot of guys that come in, debuts, and you don't know nothing of how they're going to fight in bare knuckle just because they fought MMA or boxing, you know?
Listen, in MMA, I'll use this as an example. The whole entire time I was learning how to like defend wrestling, and like it got past that because I got really good at wrestling at some point. Now I'm very good at judo, and I can do hip tosses. I can defend takedowns. I take that guys down. I have submissions. Definitely a well-rounded person, but it's just for the whole time I was trained in MMA, it was just developing skill sets, you know. And I just little things, like if I can go back and change, I'm glad I didn't because I learned a lesson. But if I can go back and change them, I would 100% do different moves and different sequences at different times, because I just didn't know what moves to do back then. And everything's on the fly, and we can only get ready and so prepared for a fight. But for instance, if a guy's shooting in and he has an underhook on the wall, I would say go whiz or wrist, right, to defend it and get off the wall and circle out, take a step out, pivot, whatever. Okay. But now, that was before. But now I would go for an underhook. Why an underhook? Because the guy, if he has an underhook on you, he could automatically drop down for a single or a double on the cage, especially. So like just different things like that, like when to do a move, what move to do. I feel like it's just being smarter in IQ, you know. So again, you have a different shape, it's not an octagon, it's a circle. There's a lot of times it's smaller, they're going to put you in a smaller ring. The rule sets change. You can grab the back of the head, you're allowed to clinch, but you can't do takedowns. There's no other strikes but the punches. Where to punch is very, very important. How to knock a guy out, where to punch him to hurt him, where to punch him to cut him, how to defend a punch. What am I blocking with? Where am I shooting my punches so you don't break your hand? There's so many different things that I'm still learning in this game. And the more I focus on that, I feel like it's definitely going to pay off. Just watching guys, what happens? Why do guys break their hand? Why do they get hit from certain positions in this sport? Because again, it's totally different. Like if I have a boxing glove, your range might be here, but in bare knuckle, it's right here. It's a totally different game. You know what I mean? So you're punching different. You're punching. Your hands got to be different places. It's important.
Yeah, man. And I just, You know, I love watching this sport, man. It's just, it's just really exciting, man. And I'm definitely going to be, you know, rooting for you all the way, man. You're definitely one of the most entertaining guys in the sport, and that's going to benefit you, because guys that are not really entertaining are probably not going to get as many opportunities. Because I think, you know, a lot of people got to realize it is part of the entertainment business, you know, and that's part of your job, is to entertain people, not just to win fights, but doing it in a fashion where we feel like we got our money's worth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. 100%. Well, at least if you come live and it's a quick fight, I know we always have a good time at the after party. So that's
I seen you doing the singing thing at some spot. Y'all was singing something, man. You look like you was having a great time.
We were in Italy.
Yeah, you look like you was having a great time, man.
That was great. We were drinking a little bit. I had everybody drinking tomorrow. They never even had it before. Everybody from the States. It was great.
Well, before we go, any shout outs you want to do? Sponsors, anything?
Oh, listen, I got to give a shout out to LifeMed. LifeMed Institute. I don't know if you could see the logo on here. They're a great wellness company. Shout out to Vinny Magliano. Thank you guys so much for doing everything for me. They're the reason my name's all over the place right now as far as branding. They've been putting my logo and my name on all their shirts and literally thousands of them and sending them out to people. So I'm very, very appreciative to have them for all my recovery needs and whatnot. And I'd also like to thank Joe Papaleo Tile Company. You're the best, literally the best tile guy in Philadelphia right now. You can't even book them for, you know, 6 to 8 months. Cheerleaders, I'd like to thank. They've been there for me for every single fight. It's a gentleman's club here in South Philadelphia. The owner, John Meehan, he's a great guy, great person. Thank you guys so much for always being here and having my back. And definitely my parents and my lovely soon-to-be wife.
That's what's up, man. And I want to shout you out. Appreciate you taking time out your busy day. I mean, you say you got three businesses, plus you got to train to beat up this guy. And hopefully it is Brett Fields so I can pop some bottles over here.
You must hate this guy, poor guy.
Nah, I mean, I only got into it with two guys in BKSC. One was the Brett Fields, and the other was I forgot his name. It was a dude that actually just got the brakes beat off of him recently. So I was, you know, it's like I don't be going at cats, man. I just post stuff and people get offended. I can't help that you get offended by what I post. The solution is not to shit talk me.
Everything.
Yeah, the solution is just unfollow me, man. You ain't got to shit talk me and try to bully me. Just unfollow me, man. It's that simple, you know. But
thank you so much for having me on. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, being on your network, and I hope it gets a lot of views, and you know, I can reach out to some of your fans too.
Appreciate it. I'm going to definitely get off here, clip up some clips. You're a friend of the show. Anytime you want to come back on, please do. Like I said, thank you for taking time out. I've been wanting to interview you about since your first fight. Once I saw you do the cannoli thing, I was like, I gotta interview this guy, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate you, man.
Awesome, bro.
Enjoy your night, man.
I'm gonna get to my Fox News and eat dinner.
All right. Take it easy, man.
All right, cuz. I'll see you. All right, peace. Ciao.
There you have it, man. Johnny Cannoli, man. One of the most entertaining guys in bare knuckle right now. He's 2-0. Hopefully he's going 3-0. He said he's supposed to be fighting Brett Fields. They don't got him his name up there yet. It still says to be announced. But this Philly card, they only got a few fights on this Philly card. They don't got as many. They might be announcing some more. I don't know. I'm not seeing. Let me see what they got on the free fights here. They don't got the free fights yet. Then they'll be announced later. It'll probably be 1 to 2 to 3 of those. But we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven fights, that's usually kind of small for bare knuckle because Texas has got about 13. But I should have an interview come up here Sunday with another guy on this card, Lex Ledlow. Just got to lock in the time, but it will be Sunday. Appreciate everybody tuning in, YouTube, Facebook. Shouts out to my guy, Ron Daugherty, Savage Combat Sports. Over there, killing it with the interviews. He did a lot of interviews at the Dirty Boxing recently and whatnot. And I actually seen that, and it's actually interesting. I know Mike Perry's involved with that. I guess it's he's one of the owners, or he's the main owner. Not really a big Mike Perry fan, but Dirty Boxing did look somewhat interesting. And shouts out to Savage Combat Sports. Definitely out there doing interviews and covering the sport of combat sports and whatnot. Fortunately, I'm mainly a bare knuckle guy. I'm not really into UFC too much. And boxing just ain't what it used to be when I was growing up, you know. It just, nothing is what it used to be like when I was growing up. Boxing, hip hop, NBA soft as hell now. Yeah, man. But appreciate y'all tuning in. Go live on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We do go live. Also, the video version will be downloaded and uploaded to memes.co. Definitely go to that site. Check it out. I got my merch on there. New little apparel for all you dog lovers, pit bull lovers, rock wild lovers, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Definitely go to memes.co. Look up the Paul Pickett podcast. I got content. I got the interviews. I got clips. And I got the t-shirts on there. Also, we upload to Rumble. And then the audio version will go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Definitely appreciate Johnny Cannoli. Great guy, great entertainer. Probably the only must-watch guy when it comes to just the weigh-ins alone. He's a must-watch. And I'm interested to see. And actually, if he hits Brett Fields with a cannoli, Brett probably going to get mad as hell, man. I think Brett feels like a bodyguard or something. He does security. But me and him kind of got into it on Facebook. He didn't like something I posted. And got all emotional, started shit talking me. And it's like, yo, you can always close your eyes and you can always unfollow, you know. And that's what I do. If you know, there's something I don't like that somebody's posting, and or they shit talking me. You know, I don't got time for that, man. I don't got time for that. I got to build a Paul Pickett podcast, to build Life for Vietnam, interview these bare knuckle fighters, interview these hip hop artists and R&B artists, promote musicians on my website, promopalace.biz, which is music marketing and promotion. And that's all I got time for. I got time for building, man. I don't got time for destroying, man. So appreciate y'all tuning in. About to wrap it up. Definitely tune in Sunday. I don't know what time yet, but like I said, Lex Ludlow will be the interview. He hit me up recently, asked me about being on the show. And that's what I love about, you know, what I'm doing. Like, you can tell the work is paying off and panning out, because a lot of fighters hit me up for the interviews. I don't always have to hit fighters up for interviews. And when I want an interview, I pretty much can get almost any interview I want, as long as they're not too busy. You know, because fighters have to promote their brand. They have to promote the fights themselves. It's in their contracts that they have to promote the fights. You know, they can't not promote the fights, because that's in their contract. And if they get caught not promoting the fights, more likely they won't get no more fights, you know. And that's part of the politics of the fight game. And also I saw where David Feldman was on the Bare Knuckle show with Brian Socia. Definitely go check that out. It's about 12:05 p.m. every Tuesday. I missed the last couple, but I think they said that the Australia card will now be going through. They were having trouble with the Australia card. Apparently Australia didn't want it. And I guess they sold a bunch of tickets, and I guess Australia basically came back to the table and said, all right, it's going to go through. I don't know if it's going to be the same main event or co-main event. We don't know yet. We'll know here soon. And I seen another country where they said that that they were talking about bringing bare knuckle to it. I forgot what country they said, but they said they didn't want to do bare knuckle there because they were worried about the PTSD or PSD, post-traumatic stress, that the people would get from watching a bare knuckle fight. I mean, if y'all that weak-minded, yeah, y'all don't need to watch anything. Just stay in the house. Don't even watch TV or anything. I mean, how the hell you get post-traumatic stress from watching a bare knuckle fight? That's crazy. That's crazy to me. Definitely don't want to bring bare knuckle there. They soften and Charmin. Johnny Garb, I can't wait till he fights. Better competition. Me too. They definitely, pretty soon here, they're going to have to start giving them some better competition. They definitely are. But appreciate y'all tuning in. Appreciate Johnny Cannoli. And make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff, man. And we about to hit y'all with this outro. So peace. I'm out.